Beautiful singing this morning. We rejoice that you're here on this Lord's Day morning. I know we have several who are out of town because of the spring break holiday, and I expected our number to be somewhat off, and we are missing a few folks today, but we've got several who are visiting with us, and we want you to know how glad we are that you're here, that you've chosen to come to be with us here at Del Rey. It's good to have those that went on the mission trip back safely. They came back Saturday night. I've heard some good things about their trip, and I'm looking forward to hearing much more about the good work that these fine people did in Aruba this past week, and I know you are as well. Got some great news to pass along today. We're thankful that Timothy and Kristen Hatcher are expecting their first child. Very interesting story I heard about how the family found out about that. You'll have to ask them, but it has to do with Duck Dynasty, and if you want that tied together, you'll have to speak with them. But both sets of future grandparents are here this morning, and we want to congratulate that family as well. We're thrilled this morning to also be able to announce that Andre and Terry Williams, along with their four children, Christopher, Quentin, Jada, and Dante, are placing their membership with us. They're sitting here to my right. I'd like to ask y'all just briefly to stand so that people might see and know who you are. Wonderful, wonderful family, and I hope you'll meet them and welcome them, and we're looking forward to worshiping and working with them in the future. You know, I think all of us are encouraged by the lives and the characters of great people. Seems that some people just seem to inspire us. I saw an advertisement about an upcoming movie entitled 42 about the character Jackie Robinson that broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. An individual like that and a host of other characters seem to inspire us. We like to read and hear about individuals like that. Or we think about great people in the Bible that seem to inspire us because of their courage and because of their character. This morning, for the next few minutes, I want us to look at one of the great men in the early church, but an individual that certainly has not received the recognition that I believe he deserves. This morning, I want us to look at the man Barnabas. And I want us to look at this man whom the Bible describes as being a good man. He was certainly an outstanding character of Jehovah God. If you want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, I'm going to refer to a few verses there this morning. Verse 19 in particular says, "Now they which were scattered abroad about the persecution that arose around Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only." Look down at verse 22, we see how that this news came to the church which was at Jerusalem. And verse 22 says that they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he, that is Barnabas, was a good man, full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and many people were added to the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So I want you to notice this morning that this man Barnabas is described by inspiration as being a good man. He is depicted as being a servant of the Lord. And I believe today, generally speaking, we have a lack of appreciation in our culture, in our society, for good people. Now, generally speaking, people today have an appreciation for those with worldly wisdom and worldly knowledge. There's a great interest today in people that are very rich and wealthy. We wish that maybe we could somehow have those things. Just a few years ago, you probably can remember the voice of Robin Leach on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, a show dedicated to allow us to see the lives of rich people. They have our interest. Even those today that are celebrities, Hollywood stars, have our interest. There are shows out there, I believe one may be called Excess Hollywood, where we can take a peek into the lives of celebrities. We even have an interest today in wicked people, don't we? How many times do we hear about those that commit some kind of heinous crime and yet the judge has to pass some litigation to keep this individual from profiting from writing a book or making a movie about his life, because the interest even in a wicked person, a sinful individual such as that, is very intense in the eyes of a public. But sometimes we just don't have the appreciation that I believe we need to have for good people. Now, the word good is a very splendid word. I don't think you could find a better compliment in all the world than being called a good person. You know, we use that word good quite loosely and quite often in our vernacular today. And the word good is used quite often in the Bible, but the word is always used very cautiously. For example, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good. In Luke 10 verse 42, we notice that Mary chose that good part. In Acts 23 and verse 1, Paul said, "Brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day." In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, the Bible describes Dorcas, Tabitha, as being full of good works. That's very interesting to me that only two men in the Bible are said to be good. In Luke 23 and verse 50, the Bible describes Joseph of Arimathea as being a good man. And then there's Barnabas here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 24, who's also described as being a good man. Now this morning, for the next few minutes, I want to notice this man Barnabas, and I want to do three things. First of all, this morning, briefly, I want to look at some facts about this individual that you may or may not know. Secondly, I want to spend the majority of our time focusing our attention on some actions in his life, some characters of this individual that I believe made him one to be characterized as good. And then briefly as we close, I want us to notice the source of his goodness, why he was good. First of all, this morning, I want us to look at some simple facts about Barnabas. If you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, the Bible says that Barnabas was a Jew. He was a Levite. He was called Joseph. But because he went about doing good all the time and encouraging everybody, his name was changed to Barnabas to reflect his attitude in his life. The name Barnabas simply means son of consolation or exhortation. He was of the country of Cyprus, which was a very important island there in the Mediterranean Sea. We know from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 that Barnabas was not married. In Acts 9 and verse 27, we see Barnabas there introducing Paul to the church at Jerusalem when Everybody there at Jerusalem was literally terrified by Paul, who had been so dedicated to destroying the church, and now he had been converted to Christianity. Barnabas, we find, introduced him and brought him to the church. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 22, we see that Barnabas was the one that was sent by the church at Jerusalem to Antioch to encourage the brethren there. In Acts 11 and verse 26, we notice how that Barnabas went to Tarsus and he found Paul, and there he brought him back to Antioch, and we read there how they experienced such tremendous success. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 30, we read how that Paul and Barnabas took the offering from Antioch to Jerusalem during this time of great need. And then, of course, according to Acts chapter 13 and verse 3 and chapter 15 and verse 26, Barnabas was involved in the first and the second missionary journeys. In Acts 15 and verse 26, we know that Barnabas played a very vital role in the council at Jerusalem to determine the status of Gentile Christians. He played a vital role in the discussion regarding the binding of circumcision upon all people, even those that had obeyed the gospel and become Christians. And then in Acts 15 and verse 39, we observe how that Paul and Barnabas parted company because of their disagreement over John Mark. And then in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 13, we find that Barnabas, as good as he wasn't perfect. He's a human being, just like we are. And Barnabas played the role of a hypocrite. When Jews came to Antioch from Jerusalem, he sinned. He refused to eat with the Gentiles, not so much because of his feelings toward the Gentiles, but because of the fear of how he would be perceived by the Jews who had come on the scene. And so he acted in a hypocritical way. So this is kind of a brief overview of Barnabas in the New Testament. Now I really want to focus our attention now, in the second place, on some actions that demonstrate the fact that Barnabas was in fact a good man. What I want us to do today is to understand that to the same degree that we try to apply these things to our lives, I think we too can be said to be good people. Barnabas is a man that we need to try to emulate. He's an individual that we need to try to follow as an example. May I suggest here that Barnabas was a good man because Barnabas was honest enough to change his religion in order to please the God of heaven. In Acts 4 and verse 36, we see that Barnabas was a Jew, and not only a Jew, but Barnabas was a part of that great priestly tribe of Levi. And yet Barnabas was an individual that was willing to renounce Judaism. He was willing to depart from his old manner of worship that he might obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Barnabas realized that there was one and only one way to be saved. And here was a man that had been brought up in the Jewish religion. In fact, it was the only religion this man had ever known. His family had practiced their religion for hundreds of years. And yet Barnabas renounced the Jewish religion, and he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, that would take a lot of courage, wouldn't it? To turn against the religion that his family had held so sacred and so dear for so many centuries, to renounce that religion. You know, back in this particular day and time, the consequences were tremendous. One would be disowned from his own family. Many times for this to occur, the the one who had left the Jewish religion behind was viewed as even being dead. In some cases, even the funeral for this individual was carried out. That's how this was viewed in that day and time. And so it took a lot of courage for Barnabas to renounce his former religion. But that's exactly what he did. You see, Barnabas realized, according to Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. You see, Barnabas realized and understood that he could not be saved in his former way of worship. And Barnabas had the attitude that he was willing to do whatever the Lord required in order to be saved. Now, I think there's a great lesson here for all of us. I think there's a great lesson for those who are outside the body of Christ. I know you're concerned about your soul. I know you're concerned today about your eternal destiny, or you would not even be here this morning. But I think all of us need to learn from Barnabas that we need to be honest enough that regardless of what we may have believed in the past, regardless of what our parents may have said and taught us down through the years, regardless of what we may have believed in our past lives, we need to be honest and sincere enough to simply take this book, and only this book, and obey the teachings that are found therein. We need to be willing to always examine what we believe in light of the Scriptures. Barnabas was honest enough to renounce his former religion and simply do what the Lord told him to do in order to be saved. I think another action this morning, though, that demonstrated that Barnabas was a good man. Here was an individual that was very generous in regard to his giving to God. In Acts 4 and verse 36, the Bible says about Barnabas, he had land, sold it, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we need to understand the situation here for just a minute. There was a great need here in Jerusalem. We look at Acts chapter 2, and we know that people from every nation under heaven were there. People had come from all over to observe the great feast of Pentecost. And yet we also know in Acts chapter 2 that the Lord's church came into existence on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 obeyed the gospel on the very first day, and the church multiplied. It grew tremendously. And so in order for these folks to become well-grounded in this new Christian religion, they stayed in Jerusalem. Now, these folks didn't have credit cards or ATM machines like we have today. And there was a great need. These folks were destitute. They had absolutely nothing at all, and they were in great want. And Barnabas led the way. He set the example in alleviating the needs of these people. The Bible says that Barnabas had land and possessions, and he sold them, and he gave it all to help those who were in need. You see, Barnabas recognized the difference between stewardship and ownership. Now, he even came from a religion that recognized that principle as well. Even in the Old Testament, the principle of stewardship is clearly set forth. We know from Leviticus 27 that all people, rich and poor, even the widows, were required to give a tenth of everything. And in Luke 18 and Matthew chapter 23, we see the scribes and the Pharisees were very careful to always give a tenth. Now, they were following the old law. They were very careful to make sure they gave at least a tenth of their income. You know, I don't think Barnabas had the attitude, you know, now that I'm a Christian, now that I have freedom in Christ, now that I'm freed from that old law, I'm free from giving that tenth. See, Barnabas realized that now even more is required. Our righteousness must exceed their righteousness. Matthew 5 and verse 20. Barnabas was a good man because he realized that God was the owner of everything, and he was only a steward. But I believe Barnabas was also a good man because he set a wonderful example in encouraging others. In Acts 4 and verse 36, the name Barnabas means the son of consolation. Some translations render it son of encouragement. The American Standard Version renders it son of exhortation. Barnabas was an individual that encouraged people everywhere he went. You know, if you were feeling down and out about something, if it seemed like the burdens and trials of life just had gotten you down and were pressing upon you, Barnabas was an individual who was always there to encourage you. Somebody that would lift you up. I think about the encouragement that Barnabas was to Paul as Paul began his new Christian walk. From Acts chapter 4 there, I don't know how in the world Paul would have ever made it if it had not been for the encouragement that Barnabas gave. I think about John Mark and how Barnabas encouraged him when John Mark turned back and went not with him to the work. Barnabas encouraged people in the Lord's church to remain faithful to God. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and verse 13. And no doubt that was the attitude that Barnabas lived by. He always had a positive, we can do attitude. He was always there to encourage anyone to do better and to be better. And I think Barnabas was a good man also because he believed in others. He believed in Paul, as I said, even though Paul had a reputation. There in Acts chapter 9, Barnabas was able to get the church to accept Paul. And that was no small deed. But you see, Barnabas believed in people. He saw the good in people. Even the past in somebody's life, mistakes that they made, did not prevent Barnabas from seeing the potential those people had in service to God. Barnabas just didn't prejudge people. He believed in people. And I think Barnabas was also a good man because Barnabas did not have racial prejudice. Now, keep in mind, here was a man that was a Jew. And yet in Acts chapter 11, 22 through 24, he came to Antioch from Jerusalem. He worked with the Gentiles. I think Barnabas was one of the first ones to work in an integrated congregation. Now, we know the history. And we know that the Jewish people, by and large, could not stand the idea of any other race being equal to them. And yet Barnabas was a good man because he recognized that God doesn't show partiality. God does not show respecter of persons, Acts 10, verse 34. And the truth is today, no child of God, no Christian, should ever be prejudiced against another race. There's simply no way that a person can ever, ever be considered to be good as long as we view people by the color of their skin and we judge people based upon the nation in which they're from. No church, no person can be what they should be and work for the Lord when such exists. And I think Barnabas was a good man because he did not have that racial prejudice. And notice as well that Barnabas was a good man, and I think we can be good as well. Barnabas was good because he gracefully took second place. Now, if you notice in the first half of the book of Acts, it's always Barnabas and Paul. The last half of the book of Acts, it becomes Paul and Barnabas. It's reversed. It's Barnabas and Paul, and then all of a sudden it's Paul and Barnabas. And you know, so many times it's hard for some to see a younger Christian assume more prominence. You know, I've been a Christian for years. I've been a member of this church for all this time. And you know, look at the attention that this individual's getting. Look at the work. Look at the assignment that this individual receives. You know, there's no indication at all that envy or jealousy was a part of the life of Barnabas. It didn't matter to Barnabas that he now took a so-called back seat to Paul. All Barnabas was concerned about was making sure that the work of the Lord was done. He was a team player. He had the we attitude, and it didn't matter to Barnabas if he got one bit of recognition, as long as the work of the Lord was accomplished. And I believe that's why Barnabas was so successful in what he did. And I think that's why he was characterized as a good man. And then let me suggest as well that Barnabas was an individual that worked for unity. And he was a good man because he sought peace and unity among God's people. In Acts chapter 15, we see that certain men taught that Christians had to keep the law of Moses. Some people taught that Christians had to be circumcised in order to be saved. Now, that was Jewish tradition. And Paul and Barnabas strongly opposed such teaching, and rightly so, because it would keep the Gentiles out of the church. But to resolve this problem, Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem, and notice they let the apostles and the elders resolve this. We see that Barnabas played a prominent role in carrying out the plan for peace and unity. But you see, they recognized God's chain of authority. Barnabas recognized that the elders and the apostles ultimately have to make a decision regarding this, and they put this matter into their hands. You know, Barnabas wasn't the kind of individual that murmured and complained and, you know, got all frowny when little things did not go his way. Instead, Barnabas worked for peace and unity in the body of Christ. And I submit to you today, we need to strive to be Barnabases. We need to strive to always get along with each other, that we need to work together, realizing why we're here and that we're a part of the greatest work on this earth, the work of the Lord. And together, we can accomplish so very much in the cause of Christ if we'll simply resolve that we're going to work together. But then let me suggest, as we close this part of our lesson, Barnabas was a good man because he was evangelistic. Can't help but notice Acts chapter 11, 21 and 22. He went to Antioch from Jerusalem, stayed there at least a year. I think Barnabas was truly a foreign missionary. He went and got Paul in Acts chapter 11 and verse 25. We read in verse 26 how that both of them came to Antioch and they assembled with the church for a whole year. And they taught many people. That's where the disciples were first called Christians, right there at Antioch. See, Barnabas was truly concerned about the souls of other people. When Barnabas saw an individual, he saw a person with an eternal destiny. And Barnabas felt that he was indebted to everyone he came in contact with to share the good news of salvation. And I think for us today, we need to learn from Barnabas as we go to school tomorrow, as we go to our jobs, as we participate in our recreational activities. We need to begin to see other people as eternal beings that have an eternal destiny, that will live forever in a place of punishment or a place of eternal bliss. And we can determine by our concern where that destiny may be by simply resolving to share the good news. These are just some of the reasons, I believe, why Barnabas could be characterized as a good man. But quickly as we close, I want us to look at the source of the goodness of Barnabas. Why was he a good man? Well, Acts 11 and verse 24 says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's no indication that Barnabas had the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that he did or he didn't, but there's no record in the Bible of any miracle or supernatural power that he possessed, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. And I want to submit to you today that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. That was the source of his goodness. He tried to live his life according to how the Spirit would have him to live. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Parallel passage about how to be filled with the Spirit can be found in Colossians 3 and verse 16. Notice it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in John 6 and verse 63? He said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So folks, we need to realize today that we too can be filled with the Spirit when we're filled with the Word of God. Barnabas's life was filled with God's Word. Therefore, he was filled with the Spirit and he was a good man. And then notice how that he was also full of faith. And faith is what directed this man's life. And we know the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. And you see, that faith is what allowed Barnabas to live the kind of life that he lived. Barnabas recognized that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He had faith in God, not knowing what the future holds, but he knew who held the future. And that's why Barnabas was able to be characterized as a good person. Now, there may be flashier compliments. There may be more worldly glitter, but I don't believe anybody could have any greater compliment paid to them than what was said about Barnabas. He was a good man. Now, I want to ask you today, are you a good person? Not in the sense in which the world uses that term so loosely, but are you a good individual, not because of what you've done, But because of the blood of Jesus Christ that washed your sins away, are you good in that you're living your life in submission to His will and His way? Maybe today you need to be like Barnabas. And maybe you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you need to demonstrate your faith in Christ by being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins upon the confession of your faith in Him, as you're willing to repent and change your life. Or maybe today you've allowed your own selfish interests, the things of this world, to keep you from having God as your top priority. You may need to come today and make your life right. This morning, the invitation is yours. If you're subject to it, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.